Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hello, folks. Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. I'm your host, Tom Majeure. Jelaine Fenner will be joining us later in the broadcast. Today, we are continuing our series on new beginnings and using New Start that was created and copyrighted by Weimar Institute in California. Later on, we will have the Weimar representatives. We're looking forward to them helping us with Sunshine. So the acronym is New Start. That's nutrition, exercise, water, sunshine, trust, air, rest, and temperance. And today, our guests, our subject matter experts, will be Pastor Daniel Ferez and his wife, Petra, who is a Bible worker. He serves the Holly Seventh-day Adventist Church in Holly, Michigan, in southeastern Michigan, and also the Grand Blanc Seventh-day Adventist Church. Welcome, Pastor Ferez, and welcome, Petra.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Thank you.
It's what a pleasure to have you on this program. And as we were organizing and laying out this program, your name came to the top on the subject of trust in God. Tell us a little bit of your background, how you came to the pastorate, and where the Lord has led you through your ministry, and also Petra came into that story someplace too.
Yes. Well, I was born and raised in England, Reading, Berkshire, and I felt the call to the ministry around about when I was 21, 22. I started studies for the ministry. I did a BA at Newbold, England, and worked for 1 year in Portugal, then came back and did my master's at Newbold. Before I went back to Newbold for my master's, I met Petra while I was on vacation in Portugal. I'd finished the year of service there in the northern part of Portugal, Porto, where the wine comes from, although I don't drink alcohol. She came to church in the south of Portugal with her parents, and we just did the normal friendly thing that you do. You invite visitors home for lunch and so on. So we just got to know each other and like that. And we invited her and her parents to go water skiing on Sunday, and a friendship developed, and we started writing to each other. And then I invited her to come and study at Newbold and study music while I was finishing off my master's, doing the master's, and she did. And yeah, about a year later, we got married. Well, that's the quick version.
Yeah, all right. And Petra, welcome to our program. You're a Bible worker, and you've been at your husband's side, and I've watched you in ministry. And what a beautiful couple and exemplary in Christian life and Christian leadership. I appreciate you and glad to have you on the program.
Oh, thank you.
Pastor Ferez, would you have a word of prayer for us before we join into this new start and talk about trust in God?
Absolutely. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow before you and acknowledge you as the great creator, also the great physician, and indeed the one that knows everything about us and what we need. And Father, I pray that we could be a blessing to our listeners today. And we ask that your spirit may accompany us and guide what we say and share. For Jesus' sake, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. We have a wonderful body. You mentioned that God created us, and we are wonderfully made, as the scripture says. But in order to maintain this body and to optimize it, we have a few things of maintenance and guidelines that we have, and the New Start acronym is part of that. We're talking about trust in God. Now, Pastor, we understand that exercise is important.
Right.
We understand that nutrition is important, and we understand that many of these other parts, but how does trust in God integrate and how does it complement a healthy lifestyle in the New Start acronym?
Well, I think the element of trusting in God is part of a holistic approach to health that has to do with the intellect, the mind, the emotions, and how we feel, and that our body needs to receive good messages from the brain, peaceful messages. So if we are upset, angry, agitated, depressed, those are signals that our body will pick up, because, you know, we are learning, I think, more and more that there is a close connection between thoughts, our mental health, and our physical health. So if we're not feeling good mentally, our body will tend to respond in a negative way. So God can give us the balance and the peace, and I think the help that we so often need when we are anxious or afraid.
Is trust something that you only teach, or is it something that you have to practice?
Well, you got to be able to experience and know what you're trying to teach, obviously. So, yeah, I think in everyday life, we find situations where we have to trust in God. We have to trust Him in the unknown, and in situations where we probably don't have wisdom and ability, but God can help us. He can help us through difficult times. He can help us through times of loss, times of sickness, doubt. Our trust in God will help us to hold on to Him, realizing that He can carry us through.
Now, Petra, this is real time for you, is it not, in trust in God?
Yes, you could say that. That's true.
Pastor mentioned about sickness. Do you mind talking a little bit about the challenges that you faced, and has it become a crisis for you during this time? Or
Yeah. So what happened about 10 months ago is, even though we very much lived by the New Start principles for past 29 years of our married life, and we tried to always keep improving, and there's always room for improvement, it doesn't mean that we're exempt from getting sick. It seems like cancer is one of those that doesn't discriminate between anybody, because we still live in a toxic world with whatever environmental factors that we can't really control. I got my cancer diagnosis 10 months ago, which was very unexpected. It was almost unbelievable. It was a bit of a surreal experience, mm-hmm. because it didn't feel like it was possible, really. It's one of those things that I thought that would never happen to me, really.
Probably wondered if they had the right test.
Yes, you got that. Have it in a folder, but it could, you know, you'd always think they would make a mistake, but no, it was the truth. And I remember when I got that phone call, it was a Friday afternoon, and I was by myself, going to be by myself for the weekend, because Daniel had to be off for the weekend for some meetings. I kind of went a bit into like a panic reaction, I suppose it must have been. And I realized after a few minutes, maybe 3 or 4 minutes, it seemed a lot longer than that, I thought, wait a minute, what am I doing here? I'm acting like someone who doesn't know God, and that's not necessary. God doesn't want me to have such fear. And I just fell on my knees and I prayed and I said, Lord, forgive me for doubting you, and just help me with this. Help me to trust you. Help me not to despair, and just believe that you are still there and you've got this, you know. God, I had very much the sense right from the beginning that God has a plan. Like Romans 8:28, you know, we have beautiful promises in God's word. And it says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So it says all things work together for good, all things. So, you know, sometimes we don't understand how that should work, but God sees the big picture. And I have to say, you know, that prayer just took all the wind out of the panic attack. I was fine. I felt confident again. I felt myself again. And I obviously, it was a long road ahead with ups and downs, but that trust in God was what kept me sane, really.
Really, it is a vital part of your healing process.
Yeah.
And sometimes there isn't healing. We hope there is, but sometimes there isn't. And that's a trust in God also.
Well, and that's so true, because there are so many people who pray and they have a close walk with the Lord and they still don't get the healing. But I think it's more about praying for having that peace that passes understanding, for having not living in inner turmoil, and just knowing that God will give the strength to go through whatever sees fit for us to have to experience. He knows why things happen. He sees the big picture again, and we will get to see it one day. He'll show us, he'll explain. For now, we can just trust Him that He, our lives are in His hands, and we don't need to worry. We just need to do our part.
It's been quite a journey, a bit like a roller coaster journey, because this kind of diagnosis, I mean, is frightening. I remember when Petra was on the phone and telling me about this, you know, I was listening to what she was saying, but in my mind, it wasn't really registering. It was as if, well, this, you know, it can't be true. There must be a mistake. you know, because that's the first thing I'm hearing. I mean, I knew she had gone in and had a biopsy, and that's what we were waiting for to get the results. But fear is so paralyzing, and it can be devastating. But that's where the trust in God comes in.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The trust in God is us taking stock of our emotional response and realizing, yes, this is what we're feeling right now, but there is an anchor that we can go to, and that is God's word. And so often we find, I find it interesting that, you know, when a messenger from God comes and speaks to somebody, like an angel or, you know, a prophet has a word to give to his people, and often it begins with fear not.
That's true.
It seems that God in his divine wisdom knows that fear is so debilitating. You can't think straight. Your body has strange reactions. Adrenaline is flowing. And so I found myself in a very kind of strange situation emotionally. I hadn't experienced this kind of fear before. And I did find hope and comfort in God's word. So I remember going to doctor's appointments, going to the surgeon, and feeling the fear. And it's such a new and unknown experience. So what I did was I kind of honed in on some of the promises of God. One of my favorites was Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I mean, I felt that. I felt fear. I felt dismay. Why? Because God says, I am your God. That means he is my God personally for me. And that really spoke to me. And then it went on to, goes on to say, I will strengthen you. Well, you bet I needed strength for this. And, you know, I'm talking about the partner. You know, I'm talking about myself. What about the patient who's going through it and having to face all that she has had to face and still does face?
I sometimes wonder whether it's almost harder for the other half, you know.
Oh, yes, sweet. So, but, you know, I clung to these promises, Tom. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. So here we are starting a journey that we don't know what it's going to look like. We hear all these horrible stories about cancer and chemotherapy and radiation and surgery and all of that looming ahead of you. It's hard to stay calm and peaceful, but it's been an up and down road. But I think I can say with all confidence, through hundreds of people praying and holding on to God, that I can feel peace and not so anxious. I mean, that was a time when I know I was depressed. You know, I had all the symptoms of depression. And that's where the mind is affecting the body. I mean, I could even go, so we do need to come to God for that peace. And I think he's the only one that's able to really give us that peace in the storm.
Pastor and Petra, you're speaking to the choir here. We've been there. I was with my wife.
That's right. Yep.
We went to the surgeon. In fact, my sister-in-law said she went there by herself, and she said, don't let her go there by yourself. And so I met her at the appointment, and we waited. People came and gone, and they left us to be the very last people to talk to the surgeon. And he walks in and says, I got bad news for you. And
right there, it hits you, right?
Yes, and we walked through it. But, I mean, Petra, you just said you had something from Henry Ford Hospital. This is real time. This is not theoretical.
Yeah.
You're not past it. You're in the middle of it.
I know. I just came back from Henry Ford an hour ago where I had two appointments, and I'm on my second cycle of chemotherapy right now, and we'll have my next infusion next week. And there's some side effects where they're saying, well, we'll have to watch the spot. If that gets worse, we might have to stop chemo and treat this and whatever. But I'm not really worried. Please, because, I have to say, to me, it's been very much of a God sustained me steady through this. I didn't feel as much of the turmoil, I suppose, because, you know, I from the very beginning, I knew I needed to really walk walk very closely to the Lord and spend a lot of time with him every morning in order to just have my mind in the right place and keep on trusting him every step of the way. It doesn't mean there weren't hard times and still are, but it's, I think if your mind is in a place where you're not super worried or panicking, and you can take things in your stride because you know God holds the future, God is in the present, it doesn't all have to be so terrible.
You know,
it's really glory to God. I have to say that this journey so far, you know, wasn't easy, but it wasn't terrible. It wasn't like something that I would have to terribly dread, because God was right there with us.
Yep.
You know, it when Jesus put that child in front of the crowds and said, "You need to have faith like this child," he really knew what he was talking about. Because as adults, we are really experts in letting our mind play out all different kinds of scenarios. What if this would happen? What if I get so sick I can't work and then I can't help pay the bills? And we are really good kind of going through all different kinds of situations that might be possible, but don't necessarily have to come to be either.
You've shown us by example, how do you trust in God? And you know, when my wife was going through the infusion, she had already prepared. That's an important thing. She had already prepared.
Yep.
And that she had her Bible all marked with promises. And she opened up her Bible to Psalms, and it was in a certain color. And she just went from, as she was thinking about it, she could feel that literally going through her veins. It was burning as it went through her veins. And she would pray, read those texts. Yeah. That's that childlike faith that we all need as adults.
Yeah.
It's a strange and wonderful power and comfort that we have that takes away our fear when we trust in God and say, He knows the end from the beginning. Mm-hmm. He can take us by his hand. He can take us by the hand. And you're right, the Psalms seem to articulate a lot of one's fears and our need to trust in the Lord. And the Lord, we have peace.
Amen.
And praising and thanking God, I think it was a big part of it. You know, to keep counting our blessings goes right along with the trust and looking at all the good that God keeps sending our way, and how he helps us sometimes to other people, letting side effects not be as acute, or just giving the strength to get through things without having to struggle as much. I mean, these are all praises that uplift the heart, and they really help to have a much better mindset, which is super helpful.
Yeah, so we focus on the mighty God that we serve and not the situation that we're facing.
Amen. Yep. Well, Pastor and Petra, thank you so much for guiding us through the trust in God portion of New Start. Yeah, after the break, we will be coming back with another segment of Strong Tower Radio Today.
Do you want an easy way to support Strong Tower Radio and it won't cost you anything? If you shop Amazon, you can set up your account to have them donate to us. Just go to smile.amazon.com and pick Strong Tower Radio as your charitable organization, and they will donate 0.5% of the eligible purchase to us. That's smile.amazon.com. And you can do more to support Strong Tower Radio by going to strongtowerradio.org and hit the donate button and become a monthly covenant partner. Remember, every little bit helps. We should do all in our power to spread the three angels' messages of Revelation 14, 6 through 12.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to Strong Tower Radio Today. I'm your host, Tom Majeure, and I have a different co-host this time. It's Holly Wiltzer.
Holly Bailey Wiltzer.
Welcome back.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
So, Holly, have you ever been to summer camp?
Well, actually, Tom, when I was growing up, there were five of us children, and my parents sent us all to church school, and that was a priority. And so the expense of summer camp wasn't something that allowed us to go. But I think there are a lot of programs in place now to make that available to so many children, and that might be something we can talk about.
We will be talking about that.
But I can say this. I still was very familiar with Camp Asabel because there were church district camps in the fall that we always participated in as a family. And we have sent our children to summer camp. And we also went to a family summer camp.
It's one of the funnest times of the years with your family.
Yes, it is.
Camp Asabel. Well, likewise myself, I grew up and I never went to summer camp either. But you know, the first time I went to Camp Asabel was to a Pathfinder camp experience. And so Actually, I only went to camp in the fall, the winter, and the spring. I didn't know there was such a thing as summer camp, but we're going to find about summer camp today. So today we have with us Pastor Ken Mitchiff. He's the director of the camp director of Camp Asabu in Grayling, Michigan. Welcome, Pastor Ken.
Thank you very much. Hello, everyone.
And welcome back. This is the third time. This is becoming a regular appointment every spring.
Well, I'm starting to get used to it.
Very good. Well, you brought one of your sidekicks here. That's Craig Morgan. He's a retired school teacher. How many years did you teach?
I had the blessing of teaching in Seventh-day Adventist church schools for 46 years. Wow.
That's a record there. But you know what? Actually, in some ways, even though Craig is Pastor Ken's sidekick, he has more seniority than Pastor Ken. So tell us why you have more seniority than Pastor Ken.
Well, I have more seniority at Camp Asabu because this summer, my wife and I will have been on the staff there for 35 summers.
Wow.
So in between the teaching school, we would pack up quickly after school was out, drive to Grayling because we were living in the southern part of the state, and spend all summer there, and we would stay there long enough for our teacher retreat and then go back to the classroom again. And people wondered if I was thinking straight in dealing with youngsters all year round, but youngsters have always given me an extra charge in life, and they help me to stay younger, even though when I look in the mirror, I know I'm not so young anymore.
Well, I tell you what, a couple things. We have an experienced, seasoned team that knows what they're doing at Camp Asabu. You also might, Holly, they might recognize the voice because Craig Morgan does a lot of special programming on Strong Tower Radio, and we greatly appreciate your voice here on Strong Tower Radio.
It's been a blessing for me to be able to come down and put on the airway some things that God has given me to share with others.
Absolutely. And Pastor Ken is a real strong supporter of Strong Tower Radio. He even allowed us to put a sign about Strong Tower Radio at the exit. So when people leave camp, they know where to turn the radio.
Well, I enjoy listening to it myself.
Absolutely. Well, let's get into the program right now. Pastor Ken, if you're like Holly and I have never been to camp, we have been vicariously, which explained, but why would a person want to go to summer camp?
Well, there's two answers to that question. Why would a parent want to send their child to summer camp? And why would a child want to be a camper at summer camp?
Very good, yes.
And so I think I'm the baby of five.
Okay.
Okay. My mom and dad.
Like Holly.
Yep, like me.
Except you were the baby.
I was the baby.
Oh, were you?
Yeah,
okay,
I'm
okay.
The baby.
Okay.
Yeah. We get to see all of our older siblings' mistakes, and we realize how to navigate through
life.
See,
I'm the oldest, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
And I can totally
I'm the oldest, too.
Okay.
So.
We have an even balance here, don't we, Craig?
We paved the way.
That's right.
Well, my mom and dad, they wanted me to learn independence. They wanted me to be able to develop social skills, to make friends, and to be able to know how to, to make it in this world on my own. And summer camp was a good option for them. So I went to camp when I was 7 years old.
Wow.
And that was my first.
I thought you were just out of diapers.
Well, to be honest with you, I still wet my bed.
So you should have had diapers.
I hate to admit that. The counselor would get me up at 1 a.m.
That was preventive, right?
It was preventative maintenance there. No, but anyway, I made friends and I learned to, I learned to be able to, navigate situations. And
Did you have enough money at the end of the week with the camp store?
I spent all my money the first day.
That's what I thought.
That's another lesson.
I remember that from last year.
But, I went to camp when I was 12 years old. By the time I got to 12, I had been to camp several years then. And that's where I made a decision to give my heart to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Even though you were a pastor's kid.
Well, I wasn't a pastor's kid then. And, I gave my heart to Jesus, and I was baptized at camp by Elder Les Rylea.
I remember him.
Yeah.
I do too.
And he was the camp director at Camp Asabu. And this was at Camp Wadoon. in Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you say that there's more than one summer camp in the Adventist system?
Yes. There's got to be 60 or 70 camps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I looked it up once. Yeah.
I haven't looked it up lately.
Okay. Well, you had a good experience. You liked it so much, you decided to stay, and you're still there.
Yes. I made friends when I was a young person, when I was a camper. I made some really good friends. And, you know, I learned out about life there. I remember when I was 12 years old, we had a crush on the counselor.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Okay. And I say we, my friend and I.
Okay.
And so rather than fight about it, we decided that we'd both marry her.
Oh.
You know? And a year later, we said, man, that was the dumbest thing. Why did we even think that? You know? We wrote her letters, and she was kind to us. But, you know, we didn't know about a lot of things in life.
Well, you know, that makes me think about something so that when the kids get a little mischievous, you already know what they did, or you've done it yourself, huh?
Well, I've been there.
Okay. Well, let's go see with Craig here. Did you ever go to summer camp when you were little?
Well, Tom, I grew up in Maine, and we had a beautiful summer camp in Maine called Camp Laura Weld. It was about an hour from where we lived. But I was not able to go there as a camper. My mom was a Seventh-day Adventist. My dad was not. And the money was tight. So it wasn't until 1969, when I was hired to be a camp counselor at Camp Laura Weld, that I saw it for the very first time. And from then until this coming summer, we will have worked at a Seventh-day Adventist youth camp for 48 summers.
Amazing.
11 in Maine, 2 in Indiana at Camp Timber Ridge, and this summer will be our 35th summer working at Camp Isabel.
Wow.
That's awesome. Now, Pastor Ken, can you tell us, when people say summer camps, the minds go to many different experiences. Across the state of Michigan and across many states, there's many types of camps. There's day camps. There's overnight residential camps. There's YMCA camps. There's band camps. There's horsemanship camps and such. Give us a little idea what the range is. You're a member of the American Association of Camps?
Right. It's the American Camping Association. You can look that up online, and you can get a lot of good information. There's a lot of good information for parents and campers as well. It's a set of standards that we go through to minimize risk, to reduce the risk. There's always a risk when you ride a horse.
Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be a risk when you get in a boat, when you get in a car to bring your camper to camp. There's a risk.
Mm-hmm.
You get on a plane. So it's what we do is we have a set of safety standards that we follow. And, it really does minimize risk. We have a doctor that comes and volunteers every week, a new doctor. We have three nurses. They love camp, and they support camp, and they love kids. Our camp is, you know, a week-long camp. It's overnight camp, and it's a Christian camp. We have plays in the evening. We have activities.
And these are religious plays with
Correct.
A spiritual focus.
With
it.
A spiritual focus. Back in the frontier days, we have a wagon train, an Indian village, and we have a fort, and, you know, all back in sort of the frontier days.
Yeah, that fort just captures the imagination. You watch the kids the first time they ever come there. It has a parapet or something around the top, and they run around that and little lookout stations. And
I have wonderful memories from that because my mom, as a church member, we're able to stay for the weekend when you schedule that. And she taught the juniors. And so she and my dad brought the juniors up to the fort when I was a kid. And we did stay there. And I think it was in the wintertime. And wonderful memories of Camp Isabel.
Amen. Yeah, no electricity.
No electricity, no.
Yeah, yeah.
That was part of the fun.
You collected the wood to keep warm,
mm-hmm.
and there was a well to pump, you know, a pump house, and you pump your water.
And I don't think that there's been a lot of updates since I was there, so there were probably a few cracks in the walls, too, I'm thinking, then.
Well, we want to keep it authentic.
That's right.
So, when your camp experience, what would be a typical day at a summer camp?
Okay, you come for registration on a Sunday. You go and you get you've already picked out your cabin online. You go to campusable.org. Registration opens up on the in March, the 1st of March. And so you've already know what your cabin is, your counselor, you're ready to go to camp. So you go into the cabin and you get settled in and you talk to your counselor and you introduce yourselves and to your cabin and you know you're excited to be there. You go to supper and at the end of supper we have a program for them and they play and they have a good time and the next day they start their activities. They get up in the morning and we have a camp council.
You have a bugle that goes off or something?
We do, yeah. It starts out with a chicken clucking. And yeah, there's some traditions that our campers wouldn't want us to leave out.
I see.
Yeah, so they go to camp council, and then they eat a nice breakfast. It's an all vegetarian menu. We have a wonderful chef. Chef Miguel does a great job with his staff. And then they sign up for three classes. They get to choose three different classes, and they go to their classes and have lunch. Then they go to activities through all kinds of activities. They go skiing and boating, and they do high adventure and ride horses and go to the nature center, and they do crafts. And, you know, Mr. Morgan, what are some other things they do?
Well, we don't want to forget that we get an opportunity to take a group down probably the most canoed river in Michigan, and that's the Isabel River. Our camp, Camp Isabel, is named for the Isabel River, and we take a group every day down across the lake, out through our outlet, down the Isabel River to Burton's Landing, and for me, it's one of the high points of the day because I just love to kayak and canoe. In fact, I went kayaking yesterday, I should say, down the Isabel River, and yesterday was February number 12, so...
And you've done that every month,
and
haven't
you? I took the challenge of going down the river once every month, at least once every month of the year.
Does everybody successfully navigate that little creek without?
There are some low spots, and sometimes they get stuck, and once in a while a canoe will flip. But that's all the part of making memories at camp.
Then after the activities are done, they go to supper and. Then they have a recreation period, and then they go to campfire, evening campfire, where the play is given. And we have a fair on Thursday night, and they have sort of like a carnival and a rodeo kind of thing. And, yeah, the kids make some really good friends. And, mm-hmm. and you know, more important than anything else, they found out that God loves them just yes. like they are. They don't have to change. God loves them just like they are. They're special. No matter what society tells them, they are special.
Well, and Pastor Ken, you do an excellent job in setting that tone among the staff. In fact, you're visiting us, just coming off a tour of recruiting. So tell us a little bit about what you look for in staff.
Well, the first thing we look for are good references. You know, they are young people that are committed and dedicated to Jesus. They love him. They've given him their lives. And they've demonstrated that in their school and in their workplaces that they've been.
They have a track record.
Yeah, a track record. You know, we interview kids, but to be honest with you, our interview is not a very big part of what makes our decision in hiring someone. We call references. It's painstakingly laborious. It takes time. But you know what? Anybody can impress you at an interview. But it's their references, it's that Pathfinder director, it's their teachers, it's their pastor, it's the people that they hang out with. And we talk about, you know, we talk to those references and make sure that they come with good references.
Well, I wanted to ask you a question, and I know this is kind of putting you on the spot, but you talked about how this makes a difference. And I know, looking back, how I have very fond memories of Camp Asabo. But can you think of any life-changing event for a camper or a staff member that really stands out in your mind, where they came and something dramatic happened in their life because of their attending Camp Asabo?
Yes, I sure can. And Craig, you can think about this as well. But, you know, there isn't a week that goes by that a camper isn't changed. It's that environment. It's, you know, they're away from technology. We don't let them have phones. We don't let them have the technical stuff. This is a time to get away from all of that.
That must be traumatic for some of them.
And especially, I mean, have you been in a restaurant and seen people together? I mean, it doesn't matter what age group. They're on their phones.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a week of you know, fasting from that. You know, they when they start learning to make friends and they realize they get in the Bible and they found out that God loves them, and, you know, they realize that there is a heaven. There is a place that God is preparing for them. And there are people that aren't going to go there because they choose not to go there. And they realize that, you know, that the God that died for them, that loves them so much, is preparing that place. And he's not a God to run from. He's a God to run to.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a God that cares, that inhabits the praise of his people. And he, you know, when they find that message out, they give their lives to Jesus. Some of them, we have a passion play every Friday night, and they just weep to think what Jesus did for them. And we have as many as 350 want to be baptized in the summer because of that.
That is truly amazing. What other environment could a parent put their children in where there's that high of ratio of changed lives?
There is a real value here. You know, I don't know any place else, and I'm not saying there isn't,
mm-hmm.
but I just don't know of any place else that provides that kind of an environment like summer camp.
What a great place to take a break right now. We'll be right back, and we'll talk more about camp ministries and Camp Asabo and Camp Segola. Stay tuned.
The Bible and God's character are under attack like never before. Here at Strong Tower Radio, we are proud to hold up the Bible as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We believe the Bible is the Word of God and contains the good news of God's character and His great plan of salvation for mankind. If you know and believe this to be true, won't you help Strong Tower Radio proclaim the truth about our God and His Word, the Bible? To do that, go to www.strongtowerradio.org, and there, on our secure website, you will find a donate button. Click on that and give as the Lord directs. Thank you for listening and supporting Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
Welcome back, folks. I'm your host, Tom Mazur, with Holly.
Holly Bailey-Wiltzer, and it's nice to be here and hear all these wonderful things that people have available to them through our camps here in Michigan and actually throughout the country.
If you just turned in, we're talking about summer camp, even though it's in March. And, you know, Holly, three of the four of us in this interview here didn't have the opportunity to go to summer camp because of finances.
That's right. And what's wonderful is now we have available to us programs that help to offset those expenses. And I would like to hear more about that, and I'm sure the people listening would too. Could
That's
you tell
right.
us more about these wonderful programs to help?
Certainly. The Michigan Conference, they are so excited and they love kids. We have a history of camp. Even our Camp Asabo started in 1947. It was purchased in 1947. Before that, we had Camp Pottawatomie.
Yay. That's where my mother went to.
my mom went there too. and so, you know, there's a history of knowing what camp does to build character and to turn out young people that love God and are going to be good citizens. So,
you know, Pastor Ken, one of my observations, although I worked at the campground and we had the camp staff coming down at Grand Ledge, I watched the young people over the years that are the counselors. Not only are they growing and helping young people, but they are learning leadership skills that go on to serve the church and the world mm-hmm. in a unique way.
Exactly. Wonderful. Yeah, and so they've put a fund together, the constituents of the conference throughout Michigan and around the world. They put this fund together. We won't turn any camper away because of finances.
That's
and I think
awesome.
That's awesome.
So that's a safety net that wasn't there at one time when the four of us weren't there. So what a wonderful privilege. And how do you get involved? Is this only for Seventh-day Adventists? Or?
Oh, no. No, not at all. We have people of all faiths and no faiths that come to camp. And, you know, we look at Jesus when he was in this world. How many people hung around him? You know, he preached a message of love and acceptance, and he really did care for the people around him. That's what we try to emulate at camp. Our staff, they love the kids, and you know, they're going to be welcome no matter where they come from, what their background is. But yeah, they can tap into these funds by going to any Seventh-day Adventist church. Any pastor can help them. They could go to campusable.org. They can apply for that Worthy Camper Fund, and it's available.
In the church in your area, you could find that on the Michigan Seventh-day Adventist website, MISDA, MISDA.org, and you go to locate. It's one of the keys that you can push, and under that has churches. So you find a local Seventh-day Adventist church, and you can find out if maybe your kid can go to camp or they'll sponsor you at camp. The other thing I want to share about is there are 3 Seventh-day Adventist camps in the state of Michigan. 2 of them are run by the Michigan Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. The other one is by the Lake Region Conference. That one is Camp Wagner in Cassopolis, Michigan, and we'll be interviewing them in about a month's time with their director. But we want to talk about Camp Segola. Pastor Ken Craig Morgan are recruiters. They're recruiters for Camp Segola. Now, Camp Segola is a camp in the Upper Peninsula, and each camp has its unique characteristic based on its staff and by its locality. And they're up in the UP on a lake in the western UP near Crystal Falls. Holly, tell us about the 2 summer camps.
They have 2 weeks, 1 for juniors and 1 for teens. July 12 through 19 would be for the juniors, ages 7 through 12, and July 19 through 26 is for the teens, ages 13 through 17. Now, some of the activities that they do during their time there in camp would be, because they live on a lake, they swim, sail, boat, wakeboard, water ski, go canoeing. They also have crafts and they have ceramics and they do nature observations. So they have a lot of interesting activities to keep those children busy while they're there.
That's right. Wow. And then after camp, they have other activities that happen. They have a camperee up there for the Pathfinders, the scout-like group. They have teen snow outing. Mm-hmm. That's for the young people. They have a marriage retreat, October 9 through 11. They also have a women's retreat and other activities beyond that. Let's talk about Camp Asabo. Craig Morgan, why don't you tell us about some of the activities? When does your first camp start at Camp Asabo in Grayling, Michigan?
Well, our first camp every summer is called Adventure Camp. It's for young people that are about 7, 8, 9 years old. And that's from the 7th of June until June 14. And after that, we have Junior Camp, which is basically ages 10, 11, 12. And they come from the 14th of June to the 21st, followed next by Tween Camp. And that's the group in their early teens, and that is from June 21 to 28. And then our last week of kids camp, June 28 to July 5, and that's our teen camp group. And that camp is for high school students. And of course, through all of our kids' camps, there are activities like horses and waterfront and high adventure, lots of things for them to do. But then that's not the end of our summer camp program. That's followed by family camp. Family Camp 1, Family Camp 2, Family Camp 3, and new this summer, we'll be adding a fourth week of Family Camp, and that's where entire families come and spend a week with us. And they come, Mom doesn't have to cook, Dad doesn't have to repair the car, unless he wants to. They just come and they do all of the activities that I mentioned for kids' camp.
So can Grandpa and Grandma come too?
Grandpa and Grandma can come too. And or you can just take the activity of sleeping in a hammock under the tree for part of the day if you want to. But we do have activities and classes just like we do during kids' camp.
I can verify that's a wonderful time, you know, because we participated in that and truly enjoyed it.
And we did that a couple times also, our family, and that's where my son and I, we did some welding. In fact, Pastor Ken was not the director at that time. He taught the class that time, so you probably don't remember that.
Yeah, well, I don't remember everything.
And then my son's favorite thing he always had to do was archery. Every single time with the archery, Mr. Dunnaback.
Mr. Dunnaback.
Yeah.
So, of course, he also liked to go out fishing with him once in a while.
That's true, too.
We have good fishing on that lake.
And then an exciting thing that we just started last summer is what we call Golden Years Retreat. And that's about the second week of September. And what happens, we subtitle it a land cruise for age 50 and above, where you can come and enjoy all the activities that we have for our family camps and kids camp. But we also invited in last summer a young lady that if somebody wanted their hair done, they could get their hair done. Another young lady came and did massages. We went on field trips. You can go golfing anytime you want. We have a golf course in town where we have an arrangement that we can send our campers over there and golf. For our campers, it's free. And canoe trips down the river. So last summer, our seniors were so happy to come and be pampered for a week for what we call Golden Years Retreat. And we'll be doing that again this year.
Yeah, the dates are September 13 through 17. And Don Livesay, Pastor Don Livesay, is going to be our speaker
awesome
for that
speaker.
Week.
You know, I want to ask one question. You said it was a land cruise.
A land cruise.
So do you guarantee that no one will get seasick?
No, we have not seen anyone seasick yet.
Okay. Well, good, good, good. What else can you tell me about Camp Asabo? How big is Camp Asabo?
Well, we have 828.9 acres.
Wow.
We have our own lake and with a private boardwalk all the way around, so you can go around that lake. It's a little over 2 miles. That lake goes into the Asabo River where we go tubing and we go canoeing and kayaking. It's a great experience.
Now, Camp Asabo is used for many other purposes other than summer camp. Can you delineate some of those?
Sure. We have blind camp. We have women's retreats. We have teen snow outing. We have teen Bible camps. We have public Bible camps for public university students and public high school students. We have just a number of retreats for teachers and pastors. And, yeah, it's a lot of fall outings. There's marriage retreats. The Family Life Department has events here. And, yeah, if you hear, if you go at campasabal.org, you can see some of those. Otherwise, the MISDA website is a really good place for that.
That's MISDA, is MISDA.org. Now, something's coming up really, really soon, and that's one reason that we're talking about summer camp in late winter right now, is what's coming up really soon, Pastor Ken?
Well, we open up registration in March.
So can we kind of be passive about that and just kind of wait to the last day to register?
Well, you can be, but you might be in a tent.
I think you could say put that in the category of bad ideas.
And don't they also register for the classes they want to take at registration?
Yes.
And those get filled up fast.
Right.
So the sooner you register, the greater the chance you get the class you want.
Correct. Yeah.
So let us know what that date is that all these kids are just waiting by the radio to hear what from Pastor Ken, the official authority of when registration opens up.
It's March 2.
March 2. That was my grandfather's birthday.
Mm-hmm. It's, registration opens up, and people are usually up several hours before waiting online going to register.
Because as popular as our youth camps are, the family camps are the ones that fill up super, super fast. And that's one reason why we added another week, so that families that weren't able to get in before have a better chance this year because we've added a whole new week. Mm-hmm. But some of those camps can fill up within minutes once the registration opens up.
Yeah, we have time and time again, parents come up to me and said, we offered our kids to take them to Disney World or to Disneyland. And they said, no, we want to come to Camp Asabo. Mm-hmm. That's because the family's all there.
Yeah.
And, you know, the price is amazing.
It is.
And the environment, you just don't find that at Six Flags or, you know, anywhere else.
Absolutely.
We had a family that used to come all the way from beyond Toronto. And the father was a teacher. And he was transferred from Toronto all the way down to Mississippi. And his children said, if we move to Mississippi, can we still go to Camp Asabo for summer, for a family camp? And he said, yes. And they said, well, fine, well, then we'll move.
All right. That was a deal breaker. Now, tell us some more camp stories.
Well, you know, some of my favorite stories are when staff come to me and how they interact with the campers, and they develop that relationship. And the campers want to write them throughout the year, write them on Facebook, and just encourage them throughout the year. And the times where those campers give their life to Jesus, and they learn things on a horse, for instance. Some of their experiences in life, they don't take them out in nature. You know, to hold some of the creatures that many people are just afraid of. They call it echophobia. And it's real, you know. And when they come out and when they are able to pet animals and get on a horse and they're able to go into nature and put goggles and fins on and swim through the shallow areas of camp and discover some of the wildlife that's there. It's just incredible to see the kids light up and their faces just, you know, it's like a green light and they get it. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm. You know, you talked about nature and stuff. There is a nature center on camp. Mr. Morgan, will you tell us about the nature center? You've spent a little time at the nature center.
Right. We have many of our nature classes we teach from our nature center, which is a beautiful log building located out amongst the large trees that we have there at Camp Asabo. And we have our nature classes there, but we also have the opportunity for people to come and explore because we have all sorts of animals that are live. We also have a lot of mounts there of animals that you would see here in Michigan, but also animals that you'd see in the other parts of the world. We have some of our activities, some of our displays are interactive, where youngsters can open a drawer and see the answers to a question that's been posed. It's one of the most beautiful nature camps, nature buildings you'd find anywhere around here in the state of Michigan. So it's a real highlight for people to come and visit the Nature Center.
I think it's very special is that it's led by a biologist.
Right. We have Dr. Gordon Atkins, who was a professor at Andrews University. He is our Nature Center director, naturalist. And this coming weekend, we're taking a birding trip with him. Some of our friends around the state of Michigan, we're going to be going up into the UP, through Wisconsin, up into Minnesota, looking for birds that you find native there this time of year.
You know, you're alluding to something that you also have other camps, and that's where you have outdoor camps for the church schools across the Michigan Conference that
right.
schools can come there. Amazing things. My wife goes every year. She's a school teacher, and they take them out, and they do scientific experiments. They test the water and the pH. And
right. We go on various hikes where we point out some of the interesting features of Camp Isabel, what makes Camp Isabel Camp Isabel. In fact, this week we had a group from Grand Rapids Adventist Academy that were up there. Our 5th and 6th graders were up there and enjoying learning things from outside.
You know, I want to make a point that I think you referred to how important it is with camp because they are brought to a knowledge of Jesus, but nature is God's second book. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it so powerful because it's combined with nature that really, how can you view nature and not be in awe over the God who created it? Mm. It really is amazing. And I also want to make a little reference to the horseback riding because we have gone horseback riding while at Camp Isabel, and it's because of Camp Isabel and horseback riding that we ended up with horses ourselves. Our, at that time, 12-year-old daughter had begged and pleaded to have a horse, and my husband, who had had a negative experience when he was younger, he kept saying no, 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 and then we went riding at Camp Isabel, and he came home that day and said, well, maybe, and I knew that was it. We ended up with 7 horses after that.
Oh, well, folks, we want to wind up this particular program on camp ministry. We talked about Camp Isagola up in the Upper Peninsula near Crystal Falls, that they have a camp that starts in July 12th for the juniors and July 19th for the teens. You can contact them at their telephone, 906-282-9639. Again, 906-282-9639. And Pastor Ken, tell us how they can register for Camp Isabel.
Yeah, go to Camp Isabel, CampAusable.org. Or you can call 989-348-5491.
So again, give us that website and the telephone number.
Okay, CampAusable.org. And then our number is 989-348-5491.
You know, Holly, it seems a little warmer in here since we started talking about family camp.
Well, that's always a great way to warm up, isn't it?
That's right. Well, folks, we've enjoyed having you on our program, and join us next week for Strong Tower Radio Today. Bye now.